With us into the book of 2 Timothy. Went back and forth fighting between two messages. If anybody's ever heard, how many's ever heard of Adrian Rogers? He's one of my favorite preachers of all time. I wish I could preach with the voice of Adrian Rogers, but I've got stuck with this one, so it's one you got to listen to. But he was a great preacher. He gave some thoughts for the new year one time. And those thoughts are my points this morning. This isn't his message. They're just his thoughts, his points of starting the new year. And I liked them. And I had another message. God had given me another message, and I studied it. But all night long, he just kept my mind on this. And I got up this morning, and my mind was on this, and I've been just all day thinking about it. Yesterday, thinking about it, and I just feel that this is where God would have us to be this morning. If I get started and I think it ain't, we'll stop and go somewhere else, right? But I believe this is where He'd have us to be this morning. Not intending to plagiarize or preach another man's message. It's not his message at all. It's just the thoughts that he had gave. Amen. I want you to understand that. I'm not preaching Adrian Rogers' message. It's his thoughts, and I like them. They're great points. And, 2019 was a very troubling year, it seems like many years are here lately. We see the change that's coming across our nation. 2020 can prove to be a very pivotal year, especially for Christians, especially for the church and the cause of Christ. This world is changing rapidly. It's deteriorating rapidly. And we need to be much in prayer. But we need to be prepared for what we face in the new year. I don't know what's in front of me. I don't know what's ahead of me. I like the saying, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Amen. Amen. And because of that, we can be prepared. And because of that, we can have peace in our hearts and lives that irregardless of what happens, we know the one that's still in control. We know the one that still has all power. So if you found 2 Timothy chapter 1, stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word this morning, and give you a chance to stretch your legs. We'll begin reading in verse number 6. The Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 6, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I don't care what you dealt with and what you faced in 2019. You faced it with the power of God, with the love of God, and with the soundness of mind that He gives us by trusting in Him. And He brought you through 2019. Maybe it wasn't a smooth trip. Maybe it wasn't an easy ride, but He brought you through it, and He'll take you through again. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us from and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." Now listen at this, one of my most favorite verses in the Bible. "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed." Amen. Amen. Not who, whom I have believed, "and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Amen. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us this morning to the throne of grace? Amen. The Apostle Paul says, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." I'm glad that we can have a personal relationship with Jesus. Amen. Paul said, "I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have trusted everything to. I know whom it is that gives power. I know whom it is that I receive my calling, my instruction, and my direction from. I know whom it is that I have chosen to follow in this life." Paul says, "I've trusted everything to Jesus, and because I've trusted everything to him, I can walk through this life and not fear what's before me." Paul was a prisoner. Paul was persecuted often and in many different ways because of his faith, but he didn't let that dissuade him. He didn't let that keep him from preaching the gospel and from preaching Christ and him crucified, from writing the encouraging words that he wrote as he wrote the epistles from his prison cell to the churches and to the individuals that he sent the letters out to help them and to encourage them and to know that even though he'd been through so much, he was still willing to trust the Lord. And I don't know about you, I've been through a lot, amen, but I'm going to still trust Jesus. We was thinking last night, I was listening to that song last night, "I've come too far to turn back." I don't know about you, but God's been good to me thus far, and I have no desire to turn back to the things that I once knew and to go back to the place where I once was. We can't change what was, but we can change, and we can have an effect on what is and what is before us. Amen. If we'll just trust in the Lord and trust him to do it. Melissa has to go back to Alaska to drive her car all the way back here, and I hope she's coming back. I hope she's planning on staying. She said she is, but she got to go back to get her car. That's a long drive, amen. But praise God, I can pray for her and know whom I'm trusting her care and her safety to as she makes that ride back and she has to come all that way. I know in whom I have believed. I know he's able, amen. I've got friends and loved ones that are unsaved and unchanged, and I can trust them to the Lord. That's my responsibility, amen. That's what I'm responsible to do. I can't change them, but I know the one who can. Amen. I can pray for them, and I can desire that God would do great things in their life. But the greatest thing that I can do is trust them unto him who judges righteously. Trust them unto him who can change a life in an instant, from the guttermost to the uttermost. Amen. He can make a difference in their life. I can trust him because he's never failed me. I can trust him because he's never let me down. I can trust him because not one time as I read through the Word of God did I see that he failed man, but man failed him miserably. And he kept on loving. He kept on providing. He kept on making a way. And praise God, I don't know what's going to be before me in this coming year, but I know that he'll make a way for me. Amen. And he'll provide for me. Prepared for what's before me because of my relationship with Jesus. Amen. In the contentment of his provision, I can go forward. You know, I'm reminded of a picture I seen on Facebook. And it kind of comes real with this. In 1 Timothy 6:6-8, it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." You know, we are a people who are always looking for something else. I'm real bad for that. You know, I see another guitar, I want to buy it. Amen. Another good gun come along, I want to buy it. Amen. Another awesome tool comes out, you want to buy it. Amen. And ladies, you're all the same. You got your own things that you want to buy. I know one that got addicted to dresses. She couldn't run by a dress store one time without stopping to buy a dress. I know other women that if it's on sale, whether they need it or not, If it's on sale, they got to buy it. Amen. And, you know, we don't need it. Yeah, but it was on sale. Amen. It was on sale. Deb bought me a pair of shoes one time that are the ugliest things in the world. I wouldn't wear them. She said, but they were on sale. I don't care. Send them back. I don't like them. I'm not going to wear them. But they were on sale. And she kept on, finally throwed them away or give them away or done something because I would never wear them. Amen. They just weren't me. But they were on sale. Amen. It don't make no difference. We're always looking for something more. And I'm reminded of that thing I told you on Facebook. I seen this a picture of a guy riding around in an old jalopy, and he sees a nice car passing by him, and he said, man, I wish I had that. And then a guy rides by the guy in the jalopy on a bicycle and says, man, I wish I had that. A guy sees the guy riding the bicycle walking down the road, and he says, gee, I wish I had that. And then you see a picture of a guy sitting in a wheelchair up on a balcony looking at the guy walking down the road and says, gee, I wish I could walk. You know, somehow we're just never content. We're never satisfied. But the Bible tells us that with food and raiment, let us therewith be content. If God provides for us, how many here have missed a meal in the last week? In the last few days, how many of here ate something that you didn't really want in the last few days? Now, that's a big difference. Amen. It's a big difference between need and want. Amen. And we have a God that is so good to us that he provides for our needs, and yet we complain sometimes because we don't have our wants. Amen. He said, with godliness, with contentment, is great gain. Amen. When we learn to be content with what God provides for us and what God gives us and what God supplies us, it don't matter what our circumstances are and what our situation is, we can still praise God. We can still glory in what God has done for us. You say, well, preacher, that's so easy for you to say. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm dealing with. Well, maybe I don't, but let you hear what the Apostle Paul told the Philippian church in Philippians 4, 11 to 13. Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. Now, you say, well, preacher, you don't know. Maybe I don't know. But let me tell you something. The Apostle Paul, as he pens this letter to the Philippian church, is writing it from prison. Amen. The Apostle Paul gives an account over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 of all the things that he went through, all the things that he suffered for the cause of Christ, all the things that he suffered trying to be a minister of the gospel. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths off. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. But he learned to be content. Thrice was I beaten with rods, and I was stoned. Thrice I suffered a shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. But he was learning, and he had learned to be content. He had learned to be satisfied. He had learned that no matter what he was going through, no matter where he was, no matter what he was dealing with, amen, he could find contentment in Jesus Christ, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things which are without, that which cometh unto me daily, the care of all churches, and he goes on to list more things. 5 times he received 39 stripes. 3 times he was beaten with rods. But he said, I've learned in whatsoever state I find myself therein to be content. We can't always change our circumstances. Amen. But we can cling to a God that doesn't change regardless of our circumstances. Amen. We can claim to a God that still fortifies us. A God that still strengthens us. A God that still walks with us and talks with us. A God that still provides for us and doesn't let us do without. Sometimes we don't have things the way we want them, but praise God, we got God with us the way they are. Amen. God's people spent 40 years in the wilderness, and they faced many problems while in the wilderness, some from within and some from without. But you know what never ceased? The presence of God among them. The cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night was always there. Why? Because God wants to dwell among his people. Amen. And as long as we have the companionship of his presence, amen, we can go into another year of uncertainty with the assurance that we're not in it alone. Sometimes we feel alone. Brother Steve sings that song. That's one of his songs too, isn't it? Michael Combs' song, I feel so all alone, nobody even calls me on the phone and all that. And sometimes we feel like we're all by ourselves. We feel like we're all alone. We feel like nobody cares. But do you know that Jesus said he would never leave us nor forsake us? Amen. Jesus is always there. If you see Paul on his way to prison, he's on the ship and they're on their way to prison. They get caught up in this giant storm. It's like a hurricane in the Mediterranean. A Euroclodon is what they call the storm. It's one of the greatest storms that the Mediterranean faces. It's a horrible thing. And if you've ever been in a storm at sea, amen, you know it's not a pretty thing. I can't imagine being in a storm at sea on one of those ships that they traveled on. Let me tell you something. I've seen some of those ships that them old sailors used to sail on. They're not kidding when they say it was the day of wooden ships and iron men. Hey, amen. I went down to Jamestown when I was in the Navy, and we looked at them ships that they crossed the ocean. They came from England to Jamestown, Virginia, and these ships, they kept calling them ships, and I'm looking at these ships. Now, I was on an amphibious assault ship when I was in the Navy. Them ships weren't as big as some of the boats that we carried on my ship. Amen. Those ships, we had them assault boats that they run up to the beach and they drop the ramps and everybody gets killed, you know, trying to run off. That's the ship I was on, and those were the boats that we had. But that Mike boat that I was on a small one. It was a Mark IV boat. There was a Mark VI and a Mark VIII. Now they got these big old Hellcats and all this stuff. But that Mark IV boat, that was just a boat, just a small part of our assault force, our tools that we use to deliver our soldiers and our Marines to the beach, was bigger than these ships that they crossed the ocean in. And it had to be a fearful thing to be in the midst of a storm and something like that. But the Apostle Paul didn't have to worry. The Apostle Paul was at peace. He had contentment in his heart and peace in his life because the presence of God was with him. And in Acts chapter number 27, verses 22 to 25, the Apostle Paul says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." Amen. Listen to this. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought to Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Amen. Aren't you glad tonight? Paul said, "I know whom I have believed." Amen. He says here in Acts, whom I serve, whom I belong to. Amen. He knew who it was. And let me tell you something. I got good news for you. It don't matter what storms you're going to go through in the coming year. It doesn't matter what lies before you. You don't have to go through it alone. Amen. You don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be afraid. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not. Amen. I got good news for you. In 2020, we don't have to fear this world. We don't have to fear the things that are in the world. And Paul said over there, as he's writing to Timothy back earlier in our text, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Amen. If you're fearful, if you're struggling with things in your life, I urge you to trust them into God's hand. Trust them into God's care. You say, well, I've been doing that, preacher. I've been doing that, and it's just not getting anywhere. Well, don't give up. Amen. Don't give up. God had promised Abraham that he was going to have a child. And for years, Abraham went on, and he was wondering, and he was trying how to figure it out for himself. He and Sarah got the idea, well, God said we're going to have a child. Maybe he don't mean it's going to come through Sarah. Maybe it's going to come through this way. It's going to come through my bondservant. So she gave her the bondservant, and he had a child through the bondservant. But that wasn't good. Amen. They were settling for an Ishmael when God still had an Isaac in store for them. Amen. We're trying to deal with things our own way, and things aren't going our way, and we get discouraged, and we get downhearted because we tried to do it ourselves. It didn't bring nothing but strife and trouble in their life. It won't bring nothing but strife and aggravation and trouble to your life, but you can trust in the God that has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. You can trust in the God that said he would be there with you no matter what you was going through, in the storms, in the trials, in the valleys, as low as you can get. You can be in that horrible pit of sin and sinking in the miry clay. Like the psalmist said, I was in a horrible pit, and I cried unto the Lord, and he heard my cry, and he brought me up out of that horrible pit and out of the miry clay. I'm thankful for the day he saved me. I'm thankful for the day he brought me out. But praise God, I'm thankful for the times I've been in the pit again, and he's been right there with me to pull me out when I called upon his name. I've been in the midst of the storms, and he's been right there when I called upon him to help me out. Maybe I had to go through the storm, but praise God, I had peace in the midst of the storm. Amen. He never promised there would be no storms. Amen. But he promised he'd be there with us. Amen. When the boat was sinking, Jesus was the only one that was asleep. Amen. Because he done told them they was going to the other side. The Bible says the boat was filled with water. Now, if you don't understand that, the worst thing that you can, the two bad things that you don't want in your ship is water and fire. Amen. Two most dangerous things on a ship. And their boat was filled with water. Amen. And they were thinking that it was the end. But they forgot who was with them. They forgot who commanded and controlled all things. They had forgot about the blinded eyes. They had forgot about the thousands that had been fed. They'd forgot about the broken bodies that had been touched and been healed. They forgot the power of the one that was with them, that was sailing with them, that was traveling with them, that was instructing them and directing them. They'd forgot all about that. But praise God, he got them there. And when he awoke, he calmed the storms and he calmed the sea. They shouldn't have had to wake him up. When he woke him up, he said, oh, you little faith. Amen. I said we're going to the other side. We're going to get there. Amen. There's a song out, your prayers have awakened the master. I got news for you. My Bible tells me that the one who watches over his people never sleeps nor slumbers. Amen. Jesus was asleep, but he wasn't oblivious to what was going on. Amen. He might have been asleep in the hinder part of the ship, but he already knew the plan that he had made, and they were going to the other side. He already knows the plans that he has for you. He's going to get you there. Don't think that you got to wake him up. Hey man, he already knows what's going on. He's already got the plan laid out, and all you got to do is trust him and realize that no matter what you're going through and how you're going through it, he's going to go through it with you. Amen. Why? Because he said so. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's there with us in every aspect of our lives. And I can have confidence in the promise that he's made, that he would supply my needs. I can have confidence in the promise that he's made for his enduring presence with me, no matter what I'm going through. As we see his people, no matter where they were, what they were going through, God was right there with them. When the Hebrew children went through the fiery furnace, when Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, who did he see? One like unto the Son of God. Hey, amen. If you've got an NIV Bible, look in your NIV Bible and read what it says, and it'll make you want to throw the NIV Bible away. Your NIV Bible says, and I've seen one like unto the Son of the gods. Amen. There's only one God. Amen. Amen. And when Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, he didn't see one like unto the Son of the gods. He seen one like unto the Son of God. Amen. Amen. When Daniel was in the lion's den, the Lord done come through and shut the lion's mouth. Amen. He does not forsake his people. And I can trust him. I can rely on his promises that I can do whatsoever I need to do. I can do it without fear. I can do it without being envious. I can do it without being desirous of other things that are unnecessary. The only thing I need to desire is Christ. If I desire Christ and I keep him first and foremost in my life, you know what? Everything else in life falls into order. Amen. I've seen people struggle with their tithes. I don't know if I can afford to tithe, Pastor. I found out I can't afford not to tithe. Amen. Amen. You know, I don't preach much about giving and about tithing. And, you know, some people say, well, they have a big, every first of the year, they have a big discipleship or stewardship sermon planned up. But, you know, I've never seen the need. If God's people are just dependent on the Lord, he's going to supply their need. And I've seen people struggle with life. They struggle because they won't give. You know, over in 2 Corinthians, it says God loves a cheerful giver. I like what Tracy Duvall said, but he'll take it from a grouch. Amen. I love that. Amen. But you know, God wants us to give of a free heart. He wants us to give us because we want to, not because we just feel obligated to. You know, tithing and offering should be something that we give because what we want to. We want to honor the Lord with what we have. We want to honor the Lord with what he's given us. And, you know, we find out that, well, we struggle with things. And, you know, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I'll give you all things. And then we start complaining. Well, so-and-so's got this and I don't have that. Be content with such things as you have. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't have this. You know, my wife can tell you when we first got married, I had a few guitars when we first got married. Attained a couple after we first got married. But we lived below the poverty level. And we was in the military back when it was way below the poverty level. I mean, way down there. And something would happen, a bill would come due, and I'd sell a guitar. You know? That's what it was. God always provided for our needs. We never done without. But sometimes I had to give up some things. Some things I had to surrender. Some things I had to forfeit. But I found out you can't outgive God. Because everything that I forfeited, everything I gave away, he always gave me back something better. Amen. Everything that I thought I was losing, everything that I thought I was giving up, I found out was nothing compared to what he had in store for me. He said, I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to forget you. Just trust me. And that's always saying, just trust me. Say, how can I trust him? Because if you read in his word, Jesus never fails. Amen. He never fails. He never lets us down. He never forsakes us. It's we who forsake him. It's we who forgetting his promises and start trying to find other ways around doing what needs to be done and having what we want to have. And we find ourselves struggling with God because of our own insecurities. But we got to trust him by faith. Amen. I have faith in his word. Why? Because it's proven itself to be true time and time again. I have faith. They say, well, science has disproved the Bible. I would beg to differ with you. Science has never disproved the Bible. The only thing the Bible has ever done is to fortify what scientists thought they already knew. Before scientists knew that life was in the blood, they thought that the blood was bad and you had to be bled. They bled people for hundreds of years. They thought that was a cure to bleed them. But the Bible says that the life was in the blood. Amen. When people said that, when science said that the world was flat, and if Christopher Columbus sailed too far, he was going to fall off the edge of the world because the world was flat, the Bible said that the Lord sits above the circle of the world. Science does not disprove the Bible. The Bible just fortifies what science thinks they have just learned. Amen? I can trust him because there's nothing in this word that I have found to be wrong. Nothing in this world that I have found to be untrue. I can look at myself through the word of God and I see myself for who I am. I'm a no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten, low down sinner that deserves to be in hell with my back broke. But praise God, I've been saved by the grace of God. Amen. I come to that realization. I come to that understanding and I invited Jesus into my heart. And because I invited Jesus into my heart, now I have hope. Now I have confidence. Now I have assurance. Now I'm content. Now I'm just basking in his presence. You know, I love it when I can get in a service where Jesus just shows up and just shows himself out real strong. For I know in whom I have believed. Abraham walked for years without realizing what God had promised. But he learned that he needed to trust God. Romans chapter 4 says, "Be not weak in faith," talking about Abraham. "He considered not his own body now dead, and when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God, through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that he had promised," that what he had promised, "he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness." Now this was not written for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You know what? The Bible says that when Abraham heard what God said, he struggled with it. We all struggle in the flesh. Amen? But his faith never wavered. Amen? He wanted to know how. He wanted to know when. He wanted to know where. He wanted to know why. And God just kept telling him, "Trust me." He kept trusting God, but he kept trying to figure it out. Anybody else guilty of that? Amen? We want to know right now. That's not faith. Amen. We need to walk by faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. For that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We need to trust him by faith. We need to keep our eyes of faith on him and not on our circumstances. We must keep our eyes of faith on his word and on his promise to us, to never leave us nor to forsake us, and to be our strength, to be our help, and to be everything we need. For when God made the promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee." When I read the word of God, I have God's word. I have God's promise. I have God's assurance. I have God's backing it up. Everything he says, because what God has said he would do, he will never fail to do. Why? Because he's God. And there's nothing that can hinder him in doing what must be done, because he is God. And lastly, we have the commitment of God's provision, or the contentment of his provision, the companionship of his presence, the confidence of his promise, the comfort of his power. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. In John 16, 33, the Lord told his disciples, he said, I've told you these things that in me you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation. Anybody have tribulation in 2019? In this world you shall have tribulation. Anybody have tribulation this morning? Amen. And anybody facing tribulation in their life? In this world you shall have. See, the reason I can trust him is he doesn't sugarcoat us. He never promised us a bed of roses. He promised us that we're going to have tribulation. We're going to have trouble. We're going to have problems. He said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. And if I can trust in him, if I can depend upon him, I can look at the one and say, he's the one in whom I have believed. He's my helper. I can boldly say, he's my helper. I can boldly say, he's my savior. I can boldly say, he's my Lord and my God. I can boldly say he's everything that I need. And as long as I have that hope and that comfort of his power in my heart, I can face all kinds of stuff. I can face the aggravations of life that I'm going to deal with, the tribulations of life. Some tribulations are just petty and little. Some are big. But if we're trusting them unto him, we can have comfort in knowing that we're trusting it unto the one who can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. We want God to do things, and we want him to do it right now. We want God to do things in our loved ones' lives, and maybe sometimes we begin to question God when it doesn't happen. We get angry with God because it hasn't occurred, hasn't come about the way that we wanted it to. We get discouraged with God, and we want to quit because we can't see no sense in going on. Friend, let me encourage you to do what the Apostle Paul did. For I know whom I have believed. Every time you get that way, just go back and remind yourself just who God is. He created this universe. He made a provision for man's sin when man sinned and man broke God's law, broke God's word. God made a provision for him. When we were without hope, Christ died for the ungodly. A God that loves you enough to give himself for you. A God that loves you enough to surrender his life for your life. Irregardless of your sin. Irregardless of how deep in sin that you've fallen. Is a God that you can trust all things to. I know in whom I have believed. Have you trusted him? Have you believed him? The Bible says there's none good. None of us are good. I know who I am. I done told you I know what I am. And I know what I was before I got saved. Not on my feelings, what I think, feel, or believe, but on the authority of God's word. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I was a sinner bound for hell. but also found out that God loved me more than I even loved myself. The wages of sin is death. Someone had to die for my sins. And the Bible says that God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God told Adam and Eve, in the day that you disobey my word, the day that you partake of that fruit that I've told you not to, you shall surely die. They died spiritually. And because of that spiritual death, we all inherited that debt, that condemnation that sin brought. And God knew that we couldn't pay the debt ourselves. So he made a way by sending his son, who became sin for us, who took our sin debt upon himself and died in our stead. God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad for the testimony I heard that Tammy posted the other night on Facebook. Mike had been raising his hand during the invitation, realizing that he wasn't saved, realizing that he was lost. But the other night he got that taken care of. The other night he gave his heart and life to Jesus. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you haven't trusted Jesus, what a way to start the new year. Amen. Mike no longer has to worry. He done got it taken care of. You don't have to worry. You can get it taken care of. You can face the new year and all that's before you, and enjoy all these promises that God has made for us, these provisions that God has given us. Christian friend, maybe you're here and maybe you've lost sight of who your God is. Maybe you've lost sight of whom it is that you've believed, whom it is that you've trusted all things to. Paul said, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Have you committed everything to him? Committed yourself wholly to him? Committed your problems to him? He's able. He's able to help you. He's able to bring you through. As Brother Jim and Sister Mary get a song of invitations, we stand our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around.